And as I said, my name is Walter Kamiga. I represent Vinyl Haven, North Haven, Isle of Host, Onlyton, Deer Isle, Brooklyn, part of Mount Desert, Tremont, Swan's Island, and Frenchboro. And our first order of business is a promotion from the Maine Lobster Marketing Collaborative. And I will turn it over to our guests from the MLMC.
Thank you. Representative Kamiga and Senator Johnson and members of the committee. I'm Marianne LaCroix. I'm the acting director for the Maine Lobster Marketing Collaborative. And
I'm Frank Ottwalls. I'm the chair of the board of the Maine Marketing Collaborative, fisherman from Stonington.
And we're just going to take you through a presentation today, a short presentation, a little bit about how we got to this point and what we have planned for marketing for 2014. So just get started. First of all, just wanted to go back a little bit and remind people that this was really an industry initiative. So the Lobster Advisory Council decided that the time was right to make an investment in marketing, and they hired a consultant to do some industry outreach, talk a little bit about what could be accomplished with marketing. And this was 2 years ago, back in April 2012. The feedback from those meetings was very good, so DMR submitted LD 486, which is the act for the effective promotion of Maine lobster. And I'm sure you all remember working that bill many, many, many times last spring. And then in July 2013, the bill passed last July. So the Maine Lobster Marketing Collaborative officially came into being in October. During that time, over the summer and fall, the Lobster Advisory Councils and the Zone Councils were nominated board candidates who were reviewed by Commissioner Kelleher and appointed in November of last year. So that gets us up to the point where the board came into being. Now, the Maine Lobster Marketing Collaborative replaces the old Maine Lobster Promotion Council, and three key points of differentiation between the collaborative and the old Promotion Council is the new board of directors, the greater accountability, and increased funding. The collaborative board that was put in place is comprised of fishermen, dealers, processors, and public members, as well as two commissioners. We've got a nice photo of our group here, and we still have one seat open. So the board of directors, they met for a two-day kickoff meeting at the beginning of December and really started to think about what do we want this collaborative to be doing, what is our goal here, and to get that done, put a big commitment in. They've been meeting basically every other week since then as a full board, and towards the end of December, early January, put together committees. They did, at that point, identified what some key factors were that they needed to focus on, put subcommittees together to manage those, and move forward. And were able to get a marketing plan together by February, by last month, which was a really good achievement, you know, really starting from square one in December. On the accountability side, that's another change. There's greater accountability, which is something that the industry was definitely asking for. So we have annual presentations to the industry, and we made our first annual presentation at the Fishermen's Forum earlier in the month. We have our presentation here. This will be an annual presentation that we're doing here to you, and also one to the Lobster Advisory Council, who's the group that really started this whole initiative. We also have an independent financial audit every year, and we're going to have an audit of the actual marketing program towards the end of the five-year marketing effort to see, you know, really how well it worked. One other thing that's very important to us is accountability back to the industry, so we don't want to leave it at just these annual meetings. We want people to know what we're doing on an ongoing basis. So we have a monthly e-newsletter that will start going out this month. We have articles in The Landings, which is the Maine Lobstermen's Association monthly newspaper that's sent to every fisherman in the state. We're working with Commercial Fisheries News, sharing our board notes and talking to them on a monthly basis to get an article in, and also attending Zone Council meetings and setting up an industry page on our website. So there's a lot of, you know, areas where people can get information about what we're doing. So we're hoping that everyone will at least hit one or two of those as we go along. And then the final thing is the change is really the funding, which was quite a big one. So this is our starting year in 2014 was $750,000. Next year going up to $1.5 million, and then for the next 3 years going to about $2.25 million. So this is really our foundation year for the budget. And one of the things that we look at that the industry, you know, comes up a lot is, so what portion of that is actually going to marketing versus what are we spending on operations? And for the MLPC back in 2012, this is the last time we had a full staff on board, about 50% of the budget was going to operations and only 50% to marketing, which, you know, we were bringing in about under $400,000 a year. So that's, you know, a very limited amount to really go to marketing. We don't see growing the staff, you know, beyond what we had in place at that time. So by the time we get fully funded, the operations pie wedge goes down to about 14%, which is really where we'd like to see it. So there's all that increase in funds is going directly into marketing. For our marketing approach, one of the things that the MLPC did last year, knowing that this bill was in the works and might be coming through, is saying, what can we do to help this new organization prepare for this increased funding? And what we realized we were lacking was a marketing strategy. So we went back and did a little research, looked at what our customers were looking for and what their needs were, what markets we should be looking into, and put together that information to be able to hand over to the new board. Part of that was an internal analysis, what are the benefits of our product in our industry, and what are some of the challenges that we're facing. Benefits, you know, it was no surprise, as we know we have a very good product that has you know, a luxury product that's well known. The challenges is a focus on price over quality, and again, this is an internal issue. A lack of transparency, meaning our customers don't necessarily know where their lobster products are coming from. And some of the internal rivalries and just focus on within the industry rather than what our customers are looking for. We also spend a lot of time talking to end users, the people that are buying our products, the chefs, the supermarket buyers, those types of people, and found a very different information. They're really focusing on flavor. They want, you know, the flavor and texture of the product. They want relationships with their suppliers. This is both, you know, for chefs and buyers, they want to know they want to come see the industry. They want to know who they're buying from, who the fishermen are. Sustainability is very big. All the big chains now have a green manager, a sustainable manager that's making sure products are sustainable. Traceability, I've mentioned, people want to know where their products are coming from, and grading. How is this product different from another product? Maine lobster is very well known, but they're uncertain of what that promise means. So what does Maine lobster mean? How is it different from other lobster? And so those are some of the questions that we needed to answer. So looking at that, what our kind of internal capabilities and culture are, and then the customer's needs and values, what we did is put together a strategy. The innovations, partnerships, and quality assurance are things that we're going to be working towards that are somewhat in place now, but something that we also have to reach towards. So innovation, people are looking for new product forms, new ways to ship it that, you know, brings a better product or brings a product faster. They want partnerships. They want, you know, not just somebody selling them the product. They want someone working together to help them meet their needs. And as always, of course, they want to make sure they get a good quality product. So knowing all that, we looked and said, okay, well, what can we do now in this first year? Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Quick question.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The last bullet on that, quality assurance, how do you get there? I mean, it strikes me that's something that you can only market if you've got structure that you can talk about around quality assurance, and it seems to me that's something the industry is talking about, the emphasis on quality. And so really, I think there we need a partnership between what the industry does to advance that and being able to tell that story. So are you, I mean, the marketing side of it, it depends on the actions being taken, I think, there.
Right, because we can't create the quality assurance ourselves. So it's one of the sort of bigger moving forward issues that the board is just starting to face now. Mm-hmm. But one of the things, for example, the Maine Lobstermen's Association is working on best handling practices, and that's for the fishermen as well as the, you know, as well as what's happening on the wharf. And that's something moving forward.
So that story is coming.
That story is coming.
Excellent.
It's one of the things
good
we can profile
you.
And exactly. Okay, so marketing plan. So our goal is to increase demand for Maine lobster. We want more people eating more Maine lobster more often. Looking at how to do this, we really wanted to be efficient with the funds that we have. And we found that promoting the sweet flavor to chefs is really going to be our sort of key segment, especially in the first year. We want more consumers eating Maine lobster, and we want to also put pressure on the seafood trade. And the chefs are, and the food service buyers are that sort of middle group that can affect both. We're looking at the upscale restaurant chains because of the volume and because that's where we want our product, because obviously we're trying to increase profitable demand. Our target focus, especially in this first year, is the United States. We still have definite potential to grow the market here, and the benefits are great brand recognition. Everyone knows Maine lobster. We do have a reputation for quality. There's positive association with the state in general, and you know, tourism does a lot of work there. There's a growing preference, especially in seafood, but across the food industry, for local products. And with about 90% of the seafood in the United States being imported, Maine is a local product, even if it's all the way across the country. And there's great potential. These restaurant and hotel chains, a lot of them are here in the United States, so there's good potential there. And the secondary markets are Asia, where it's a little bit more difficult there because we need to build the brand. The Maine lobster does not have brand recognition there, and that's a more expensive option for us. There's still a preference for live lobster, which limits our ability, although that's something we can grow in terms of processed product. And there is slowing economic growth, although it's still obviously a great opportunity there. Europe has the declining consumer expenditures, which we'll be keeping an eye on that, and that could be opening up as well. And for emerging nations, we were looking for more stability because, as I said, if we had unlimited funds, we would be everywhere. But right now, we want to focus on the best markets. And who are we talking to? I mentioned already the chefs, the hotel and restaurant managers, the retail seafood managers. These are the people that influence what consumers buy and also can pull the product through the seafood trade. We're also talking to journalists who are reporting to the trade as well as consumers, and then finally the seafood trade buyers and distributors and processors, because we want to bring them along as well. On the secondary targets are the broadline food distributors, and then we get into our international markets with the chefs and journalists. We'll also be working with Maine media, because a lot of stories come out in Maine that get picked up nationally, and we want to make sure that we're talking to our journalists here in Maine as well. So that's sort of the overview of what we're doing, and I'll talk a little bit more about the specifics and how we're going to be implementing our tactical program. Media relations is a great tool for us. Our budget, although doubling from last year, is still limited in the world of marketing a commodity product or a general product. So media relations, we're working with journalists, bloggers, targeting all the groups that we've already talked about. We're putting in a fairly extensive social media campaign to hit, again, consumers, journalists, and the end users. One of the cornerstones of our program for this year is a partnership with the Culinary Institute of America, and we'll be working with their continuing education program, not their undergraduate program for chef students. They have great reach to working chefs who are always looking for new information, new recipes, new ways to do things, new partnerships. So they're a great group for us to partner with because it gives us good access to the market that we want to reach. We're working with them to develop a bunch of recipes for us that they'll also do video demonstrations and photography of, which gives us great content for our media and social media programs that I was just talking about. They're also putting together an educational website that they'll host on their own own pro chef site. So it's basically like an online course on Maine lobster. And they have thousands and thousands of chefs that come through and go through this program. And that will be background on our industry as well as recipe ideas, how to prepare the product, how to handle it, all that type of information. And they have great social media and online promotions as well. So they'll be promoting this site throughout the year. We are also doing some educational events with them, and I'll highlight one. We're actually kicking off the program next month with a sponsorship at their Flavor Summit, and they're co-hosting this with Food Arts Magazine, which is also obviously hitting a great target for us. It's an invitation-only event for chefs, so there's 50 chefs going, large buyers, not of, you know, individual restaurant, but big hotel chains, casinos, that type of thing. And we'll be going there for 3 days doing an educational seminar. We're bringing in a chef from New York to teach them how to use Maine lobster, some different new ways to prepare it. Their CIA chefs will be preparing lobster in new and different ways for them to try at some of their receptions and meals, including they've got one even for breakfast, which was great.
Did I just hear you say that they're going to bring in a chef from New York to teach how to cook Maine lobster?
Yes, and while we very much wanted to get a chef from Maine, and we contacted several, the issue with this is because of the level of this event, we needed to have a high-profile chef to get the interest of the attendees that were there. And it has to be a chef that owns their own restaurant, preferably multiple units because of the group that this is. And we talked to a few of the main chefs, and unfortunately it was sort of short timing and we weren't able to get one to go. But we do have a group of chefs here that are great and, you know, help us out quite a bit. But we didn't have one that fit the profile that was also able to go. So, but we will be working on that.
Senator Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But the courses, the videos of chefs doing things, that will include Maine chefs as well, I presume?
Yeah, so it'll be a combination of chefs from the Culinary Institute, because they have good credibility in the industry, and we're also bringing them here to Maine to video not only chefs, so they'll be working with chefs here in Maine, as well as getting video of the industry itself so that we can incorporate, you know, fishing shots and
all the local flavor.
All the local flavor is going to be brought in. And so this is, it's also, so it's an educational event. It's also a great networking opportunity. We're spending 3 days with this fairly small group of chefs. We have all their contact information. We can follow up with them. So we think it's going to be a really great kickoff to this year and this event. Some other events we're doing, the Seafood Expo North America was just last week. We had a group of you come down to see the show, which was great. This year we expanded our presence a little bit. We've been doing a Maine Lobster Pavilion for 3 years. This year there were two new opportunities which we jumped on. One was an educational seminar that we sponsored. We had about 75, 80 people come to that, which was great. And we also hosted a master class, which was on the show floor. And again, we had probably 80 people attend that at the event. So that was great. And we continue to run our buyer's reception, which the industry has spoken very highly of as a great way to talk not only to other industry members but to the buyers that we bring in. And we work pretty hard to get in both international and national buyers to that event. We also do digital advertising and things to support all those efforts. New this year is our digital promotions program, and this is another one of the things that we're focusing on because it's very cost-effective and very effective. We're working on some new website landing pages so that our goal is to make sure that when people come to us for information, we're giving them targeted information so that if someone's from the trade, they're getting information that's appropriate to them. If someone's a consumer, they get information that's appropriate to them. That'll work the same with our newsletters and our advertising so that everyone's getting very targeted information. That's not meaning that they won't see the other information. It's just that the information that's most relevant to them will be up front. And the backbone of that whole program is the interactive database. So it's sort of a behind-the-scenes thing that we'll be working on that's going to prove to be very valuable moving forward. We're getting consumers, trade, media, industry people. We're basically recruiting people through all our activities this year onto our database, getting information on them, what they're looking for, what they're interested in. And so when we send out, say, newsletters, if someone is interested in sustainability, they'd get that information right up front. If they're interested in recipes, they get that information right up front. So we just want to make sure that we really keep people engaged in what we're doing. And it helps to build brand loyalty, and it's also a great measurement tool because we can go back to these people for research purposes and ask questions of them, which is great. So one of the big questions we get from the industry is, okay, all that sounds great, but how do we know if it's working? And it's a question that the board has definitely spent a lot of time considering and how we want to handle that. And we have to look at both measuring the success of the individual programs as well as the program as a whole. So one of the things that we're going to be looking at is market penetration. So we're targeting these food service operations, and we're going to be looking at, so did we get more Maine lobster into these operations? We'll be looking at, you know, incidence of Maine lobster on the menu as well as actual sales, and we're setting up research programs to track that information now. We'll also be looking at awareness. So we've got our 7 core brand values. We know now that people know Maine Lobster, but they don't really know what it stands for. So next year we'll be going back to these groups and finding out, well, you know, are our core brand values sinking into people? Are they making sense to them? Are they able to recall them? And we'll also be looking at investment in the industry, because that's obviously a sign of a healthy industry if people are willing to invest in it, so in processing plants or expanding businesses.
One question.
Yes.
So last year I got 126 million pounds, and it all got sold, not at the prices that we'd
right.
like to see. So where does the increase, if we increase Maine lobster going to some markets, where does it's got to decrease what's going to other markets. So where does it come from?
Well, what we're looking for is to maximize the most profitable markets. So, for example, we know that a lot of product, there's an example, just an article in the Wall Street Journal about Quiznos carrying Maine lobster rolls. And looking at that roll, it's lobster meat mixed with 50% of something, unnamed mystery seafood, which isn't necessarily the experience we want people to have with Maine lobster. So we're looking to hit the more profitable markets rather than the lower end markets.
I just say this from my point of view as a fisherman. I think it's likely that the total volume is going to drop back some at some point in time.
The innovations, partnerships, and quality assurance are things that we're going to be working towards that are somewhat in place now, but something that we also have to reach towards. So innovation, people are looking for new product forms, new ways to ship it that, you know, brings a better product or brings the product faster. They want partnerships. They want, you know, not just somebody selling them the product. They want someone working together to help them meet their needs. And as always, of course, they want to make sure they get a good quality product. So knowing all that, we looked and said, okay, well, what can we do now in this first year? Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Quick question.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The last bullet on that,
mm-hmm.
quality assurance,
mm-hmm.
How do you get there? I mean, it strikes me that's something that you can only market if you've got structure that you can talk about around quality assurance, and it seems to me that's something the industry is talking about, the emphasis on quality. And so really, I think there we need a partnership between what the industry does to advance that and
right.
being able to tell that story. So are you, I mean, the marketing side of it depends on the actions being taken, I think, there.
Right, because we can't create the quality assurance ourselves. So
yeah.
it's one of the sort of bigger moving forward issues that the board is just starting to face now.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things, for example, the Maine Lobstermen's Association is working on best handling practices, and that's for the fishermen as well as as well as what's happening on the wharf. And that's something moving
forward.
So that
story is coming.
That story is coming.
Excellent.
It's one of the things
good
we can profile. And exactly. So marketing plan. So our goal is to increase demand for Maine lobster. We want more people eating more Maine lobster more often. looking at how to do this. We really wanted to be efficient with the funds that we have. And we found that promoting the sweet flavor to chefs is really going to be our sort of key segment, especially in the first year. We want more consumers eating Maine lobster, and we want to also put pressure on the seafood trade, and that the chefs are, and the food service buyers are that sort of middle group that can affect both. We're looking at the upscale restaurant chains because of the volume and because that's where we want our product, because obviously we're trying to increase profitable demand. Our target focus, especially in this first year, is the United States. We still have definite potential to grow the market here, and the benefits are great brand recognition. Everyone knows Maine lobster. We do have a reputation for quality. There's positive association with the state in general, and you know, tourism does a lot of work there. There's a growing preference, especially in seafood, but across the food industry, for local products. And with about 90% of the seafood in the United States being imported, Maine is a local product, even if it's all the way across the country. And there's great potential. These restaurant and hotel chains, a lot of them are here in the United States, so there's good potential there. And the secondary markets are Asia, where it's a little bit more difficult there because we need to build the brand. The Maine lobster does not have brand recognition there, and that's a more expensive option for us. There's still a preference for live lobster, which limits our ability, although that's something we can grow in terms of processed product. And there is slowing economic growth, although it's still obviously a great opportunity there. Europe has the declining consumer expenditures, which, we'll be keeping an eye on that, and that could be opening up as well. And for emerging nations, we were looking for more stability because, as I said, if we had unlimited funds, we would be everywhere, but right now we want to focus on the best markets. And who are we talking to? I mentioned already the chefs, the hotel and restaurant managers, the retail seafood managers. These are the people that influence what consumers buy and also can pull the product through the seafood trade. We're also talking to journalists who are reporting to the trade as well as consumers, and then finally the seafood trade buyers and distributors and processors, because we want to bring them along as well. On the secondary targets are the broadline food distributors, and then we get into our international markets with the chefs and journalists. We'll also be working with Maine media, because a lot of stories come out in Maine that get picked up nationally, and we want to make sure that we're talking to our journalists here in Maine as well. So that's sort of the overview of what we're doing, and I'll talk a little bit more about the specifics and how we're going to be implementing our tactical program. Media relations is a great tool for us. Our budget, although doubling from last year, is still limited in the world of marketing a commodity product or a general product. So media relations, we're working with journalists, bloggers, targeting all the groups that we've already talked about. We're putting in a fairly extensive social media campaign to hit, again, consumers, journalists, and the end users. One of the cornerstones of our program for this year is a partnership with the Culinary Institute of America, and we'll be working with their continuing education program, not their undergraduate program for chef students. They have great reach to working chefs who are always looking for new information, new recipes, new ways to do things, new partnerships. So they're a great group for us to partner with because it gives us good access to the market that we want to reach. We're working with them to develop a bunch of recipes for us that they'll also do video demonstrations and photography of, which gives us great content for our media and social media programs that I was just talking about. They're also putting together an educational website that they'll host on their own ProChef site. So it's basically like an online course on Maine lobster. And they have thousands and thousands of chefs that come through and go through this program. And that will be background on our industry as well as recipe ideas, how to prepare the product, how to handle it, all that type of information. And they have great social media and online promotions as well, so they'll be promoting this site throughout the year. We're also doing some educational events with them, and I'll highlight one. We're actually kicking off the program next month with a sponsorship at their Flavor Summit, and they're co-hosting this with Food Arts Magazine. which is also obviously hitting a great target for us. It's an invitation-only event for chefs, so there's 50 chefs going, large buyers, not of, you know, individual restaurant, but big hotel chains, casinos, that type of thing. And we'll be going there for 3 days doing an educational seminar. We're bringing in a chef from New York to teach them how to use Maine lobster, some different new ways to prepare it. Their CIA chefs will be preparing lobster in new and different ways for them to try at some of their receptions and meals, including they got one even for breakfast, which was great.
Did I just hear you say that they're going to bring in a chef from New York to teach how to cook Maine lobster?
Yes, and while we very much wanted to get a chef from Maine, and we contacted several, the issue with this is because of the level of this event, we needed to have a high-profile chef to get the interest of the attendees that were there. And it has to be a chef that owns their own restaurant, preferably multiple units because of the group that this is. And we talked to a few of the Maine chefs, and unfortunately it was sort of short timing and we weren't able to get one to go. But we do have a group of chefs here that are great and, you know, help us out quite a bit. But we didn't have one that fit the profile that was also able to go. So, but we will be working on that.
Senator Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But the courses, the videos of mm-hmm. chefs doing things, that will include Maine chefs as well, I presume?
Yeah, so it'll be a combination of chefs from the Culinary Institute, because mm-hmm. they have good credibility in the industry, and we're also bringing them here to Maine to video not only chefs, so they'll be working with chefs here in Maine, as well as getting video of the industry itself, so that we can incorporate, you know, fishing shots and
all the local flavor.
All the local flavor is going to be brought in. And so this is—it's also so it's an educational event. It's also a great networking opportunity. We're spending 3 days with this fairly small group of chefs. We have all their contact information. We can follow up with them. We think it's going to be a really great kickoff to this year and this event. Some other events we're doing, the Seafood Expo North America was just last week. We had a group of you come down to see the show, which was great. This year we expanded our presence a little bit. We've been doing a Maine Lobster Pavilion for 3 years. This year there were two new opportunities which we jumped on. One was an educational seminar that we sponsored. We had about 75, 80 people come to that, which was great. And we also hosted a master class, which was on the show floor. And again, we had probably 80 people attend that at the event. So that was great. And we continue to run our buyer's reception, which the industry has spoken very highly of as a great way to talk not only to other industry members but to the buyers that we bring in. And we work pretty hard to get in both international and national buyers to that event. We also do digital advertising and things to support all those efforts. New this year is our digital promotions program, and this is another one of the things that we're focusing on because it's very cost-effective and very effective. We're working on some new website landing pages so that our goal is to make sure that when people come to us for information, we're giving them targeted information so that if someone's from the trade, they're getting information that's appropriate to them. If someone's a consumer, they get information that's appropriate to them. That'll work the same with our newsletters and our advertising so that everyone's getting very targeted information. That's not meaning that they won't see the other information, it's just that the information that's most relevant to them will be up front. And the backbone of that whole program is the interactive database. So it's sort of a behind-the-scenes thing that we'll be working on that's going to prove to be very valuable moving forward. We're getting consumers, trade, media, industry people. We're basically recruiting people through all our activities this year onto our database, getting information on them, what they're looking for, what they're interested in. And so when we send out, say, newsletters, if someone was interested in sustainability, they'd get that information right up front. If they're interested in recipes, they get that information right up front. So we just want to make sure that we really keep people engaged in what we're doing. And it helps to build brand loyalty, and it's also a great measurement tool because we can go back to these people for research purposes and ask questions of them, which is great. So one of the big questions we get from the industry is, okay, all that sounds great, but how do we know if it's working? And it's a question that the board has definitely spent a lot of time considering and how we want to handle that. And we have to look at both measuring the success of the individual programs as well as the program as a whole. So one of the things that we're going to be looking at is market penetration. So we're targeting these food service operations, and we're going to be looking at, so did we get more Maine lobster into these operations? We'll be looking at, you know, incidence of Maine lobster on the menu as well as actual sales, and we're setting up research programs to track that information now. We'll also be looking at awareness. So we've got our 7 core brand values. We know now that people know Maine Lobster, but they don't really know what it stands for. So next year we'll be going back to these groups and finding out, well, you know, are our core brand values sinking into people? Are they making sense to them? Are they able to recall them? And we'll also be looking at investment in the industry, because that's obviously a sign of a healthy industry if people are willing to invest in it, so in processing plants or expanding businesses.
One question.
Yes.
So last year it got 126 million pounds, and it all got sold, not all, obviously not at the prices that we'd
right.
like to see. So where does the increase, if we increase Maine lobster going to some markets, where does it, it's got to decrease what's going to other markets, so where does it come from?
Well, what we're looking for is to maximize the most profitable markets. So, for example, we know that a lot of product, there's an example, just an article in the Wall Street Journal about Quiznos carrying Maine lobster rolls. And looking up at, you know, looking at that, a lobster roll, it's lobster meat mixed with 50% of something unnamed mystery seafood, which isn't necessarily the experience we want people to have with Maine lobster. So we're looking to hit the more profitable markets rather than the lower end markets.
I just say this from my point of view as a fisherman. I think it's likely that the total volume is going to drop back some at some point in time. I wouldn't say when, but what I think is most important from my point of view is I want to make sure that if the number of lobsters we're catching shrinks, that we go to the high end, not to the low end of the market, because what's had to happen in the last couple of years, where there's a sort of just an unprecedented increase in the total catch, is we've really had to expand into a lower cost market. It becomes an issue where for a company like Quiznos, it's all of a sudden, well, hey, here's a way we can sell a product. We can get it inexpensively enough to fit it into our menu. You know, I think it's going to be very difficult to get the price that we need for our lobsters going forward if the catch does drop off, as it has in some areas of Maine, if that's the market we stay in. So I think that we have to target it going back to where it once was, you know, considered more of a high-end product.
Representative Perry?
Yeah, I just wanted to echo that. As a lobsterman myself, we end up having to, I think currently it's about 70% goes to the processors in Canada, and when there's extra, we have to give it away. I've always kind of looked at it, if we're going to give away a product, and you may agree, let's give it to people in Maine, you know, instead of shipping it there and getting a real low price. If there is a low price, I want the low price to go to our local restaurants, to our that, and at least we're putting people to work. And I agree with part of your thing about concentrating more in the United States. I mean, I've always said that if we can get one-third of the Americans to eat 1 pound a day, I mean, 1 pound a year, I mean, or have one lobster roll a year, that gets rid of all of our lobsters.
Right? And I think, I don't mean to interrupt you, I thought about that a lot because I've heard it a lot. And really the issue that we have is it would be great if the lobsters came in that way, then it would be a lot easier for that to happen. But because of the way we catch lobsters here in Maine, you know, we have this huge spike. And, you know, I've been fishing for, what, over 40 years. And that particular component of what we do hasn't changed.
Yeah.
So I agree with you in that. I think, you know, and that's what we need to do is we want more people eating more lobster. But you're still never going to get away from some of the you know, I think it was up there, you know, the questions of what can the industry provide? You know, how can the industry, you know, maybe move closer to providing what the end user wants, which I think is something that we have.
Yeah, and that kind of my follow-up on that was that's why it's helped having more processors here.
Yes.
If I've got to give a $3 lobster away, I want to give a $3 lobster to Chuck's or Linda Bean or some, you know, not to leave anybody out, but a company here versus shipping it there. And so I think that's a...
Yeah, and I think, too, that there's a component of, and I think it's been up there as well. I mean, that's what I would like to see, too. I would like to see people in this state suddenly saying, wow, I'm willing to make the investment in a business because I think it can be profitable.
Right.
And you know, as you know, as anybody, it's very, you know, it's expensive to get into lobstering. It's very expensive to get into processing, and you have to move a great deal of product.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and I mean, something I've tried to do a little bit on my own as far as talking to different groups is talking to the Restaurant Association, is talking, a lot of lobstermen flip out when they see a 1995 lobster dinner, except a spaghetti dinner is $18.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't have as much problem with the first meal. I'd like to see, and I mentioned it to them several times, and maybe this is something where tourism works together and the Restaurant Association works together, is the add-ons. We have a hard time getting rid of one-pound lobsters. That's usually our issue going along. If we can get the restaurants here during July, August, September, when there's a lot of tourists around, when there's a lot of that, is I think that if we can get more add-ons for a low price, they can market it themselves as helping the lobstering industry by giving a cheap $5 lobster along with the $20 meal or a $20 steak meal or whatever it might be. And by doing that, it helps us move product. Usually that's our biggest problem, especially in the fall or late summer, is moving product. And if we can get rid of all our 1 pound or pound and quarters that way, and then we keep the high dollar pound and a half, 2 pounds, that can go for a higher market. I mean, that drives our cost up some that way. And I think that, you know, anything that we can do, even the more we can get rid of locally, I think is a huge benefit to local, other local businesses, but it's also a huge benefit to us as lobstermen.
All right, I agree. And just anecdotally, going back to the processing, I was speaking to my Canadian counterpart at the seafood show, and he did say that their processors up there had trouble getting the product they needed last year, which I said, ooh, good news for us. Right.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So some of what you've got on this slide leads me to wonder, particularly because you've got investment in the industry, the processing plants, expanding business in there, beyond what, you know, discussion we've had around restaurant business, processing plants are going to be probably feeding different markets. Are you taking some of what you've learned from the chefs, from the, you know, upscale buyers, and making sure that everyone in the industry in Maine is aware of that? Are you taking what comes out of the quality program and, you know, making sure that that is something that people in processing as well are trying to design product around? And when you get to the opportunities to get together, you know, chefs and buyers, can we have a forum that Maine processors can also come in and be part of the conversations, as well as, you know, large-scale suppliers of live lobster and all.
But, right.
I'm just thinking that it seems like that's kind of a secondary aspect of marketing, but making sure that what's happening in Maine industry is aligning with how the market views us in a way.
Right.
But not doing it to advantage any one particular business, but rather making sure that there's opportunity for our entire industry to have that awareness and, you know, to whatever extent they can improve their plans around it.
Yeah, that's definitely our plan going forward, to tie those two things together, the information we're getting from the industry, make sure that, from our customer industry, making sure that the people here in Maine know about it. So that is, and we don't have a structure in place for that yet, but again, it's one of these things that we're looking at now moving forward. How do we make that happen? And one of the ideas is, you know, working on possibly test programs, and we would focus on the Maine and New England market for things like that, for either a quality program, a traceability program, you know, working with a small group here and then profiling it to the rest of the industry so that they can see success.
Great. Glad to hear that. Thank you.
Representative Doak.
Thank you. How many processing plants do we have along the coast now in Maine?
We're, I think 16.
16. What's the outlook in the future? People investing in this look like that we're going to increase in that number?
Well, they have increased already, and there's also the plants that exist now have excess capacity. So I think what we'd be looking towards, I mean, possibly new plants, but definitely more lobster coming out of the plants that we already have.
How about the one in Prospect Harbor? That is
yes.
a pretty big operation.
Yes.
He's huge. Yeah.
He can, he's at about, they anticipate, I think, being at maybe four times what they're currently at, being able to produce, I think they were 4 million pounds, and they, I think they can be up to 15 million pounds, something like that.
Because to me, I think the processing plant's the key for your foreign markets. You've got to, because you can't really get them there live.
Well, actually, that's one of the catch-22s, because the foreign markets are the ones who really want the live lobster, as of now.
Right.
They're that's what they're used to eating, live seafood. So, and I think, you know, my own impression is that they've figured out how to get it there. I think there's a lot of stuff that's been going on, you know, politically in the last couple of years that has made it more attractive for people to consider processing in this country. But I also think that, I fish out of Stonington, and you know, there's a greenhead lobster there, and also Garbo, you know, they've been shipping overseas for a long time. And I think a lot of these people now are developing, particularly in Korea, South Korea, that's a fairly strong market. They're very interested in it. I talked with some of them at the Seafood Expo. And they know how to get the lobster there live, you know. And it doesn't have to be all, you know, completely hard shell either. They've really improved that.
France used to be a big market a few years ago, like at Christmas time. Our Jonesport we ship along.
Yeah.
But of course, that is not as far either. You know?
And you know, yeah, economic circumstances change all over the world, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Prospect Harbor plant closed down and redid their line and to double their, because they wanted to be able to process more. So.
It worked. I talked to the guy at some length, and that they were pretty pleased with the way things went this year. So.
Okay, please go on. So then we're also measuring the individual programs. I won't go through all these, but we will be evaluating all the individual tactics to make sure that they're effective as well and working well together, and we'll be tweaking that as we go forward. From the operations side, we're currently doing a search for an executive director. We've got some great candidates in, which is very exciting, and we're going to be doing some preliminary interviews now and hope to make a have the final interviews at our May board meeting, which I think is May 13th. So we'll hope to have someone in. We are looking at some out-of-state candidates as well, so probably hope to have someone in by the summer for that. And we also looked at a marketing agency. That was one of the issues that we kind of went back and forth on. The board really considered carefully and decided we didn't do an RFP for one this year because with our funds it really didn't make sense. We couldn't get the most value out of it. So at the end of this year or very beginning of 2015, we will be looking at getting a comprehensive marketing agency on board. And I've just got a little pie chart here about the budget. You can see operations this year is still about 40% of the budget. And we're not spending a disproportionate amount on any one tactical element. It's fairly well spread out across the board here. And I just for background, this is the it's in your packets that we'll be handing out. This is just the surcharges that the industry is seeing. And the good news is, I know we've got a story of fishermen came in and said, "Oh no, I didn't get the new surcharge on mine." They went down and checked, and there it was. So it wasn't even noticeable, which was great. And then the last thing, this was sort of up because we did this at the Fishermen's Forum as well. We want to remind the industry that this is a collaborative effort, not just amongst the board, but amongst the industry, so that we're looking for support from the industry on, you know, across the board. We're looking for, you know, quality handling, for best practices, and for really just a positive way that they talk about the product, so that, you know, everyone's working together to increase the demand and really position the product where we want it to be. And that's all.
That was great. Thank you very much, Representative Weaver.
I'd like to ask a question. Why do you need an executive director now? You're just getting your feet on the ground. You're just getting going. Mm-hmm. You may need one later. Why is it necessary now? Because we all know personnel is our biggest cost, probably up there. Why do you need an executive director now?
Well, you want me to?
Yeah. I think, you know, this is my point of view. I've felt ever since I was in the minority, I think, when it happened, the promotional council, that it was a good idea. But I think one of the problems that we've had, aside from funding, is sort of a lack of direction. You know, as well, let's do this, let's try that, let's do a little of this, let's do a little of that. And I think that by having an executive director in place, especially when we go out to look for an agency next year, which we will, that's a way to help focus our efforts so that all this work we're doing this year, this preliminary work, can feed into a comprehensive program over 3 to 5 years, a way to measure things. And I think without a central figure who's really going to be the face going forward, I think we would be at a disadvantage. So I think that's a very important component. Marianne's been the acting executive director, and she's also doing all the programs. It's too much, really, for one person to do. So yeah, I think go back to the original structure, to me, as a fisherman, makes a lot of sense.
And even just from a workload standpoint, we have things where all this programming's coming in that requires day-to-day management, and if we're under deadlines for that and it's just me doing it, it kind of takes away and doesn't allow us to focus on, okay, what are we doing now with quality handling and traceability and looking forward, you know, things, sort of some of these bigger issues. It's just the work won't all get done.
So the director is more of a part-time job, is that correct, or full-time? Okay, so
it's
you're going to have
full-time.
Two full-time. What kind of salary are you planning on paying?
There isn't a hard number for the salary at this point because we wanted to be flexible on, you know, we've lost people in the past because of salary. We wanted to make sure we got a good person, but it's in the $100,000 range.
Representative Chapman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have three questions. The first is, what part of the industry benefits from a marketing success? That is to say, if you're measuring the success, are you measuring it with respect to the different segments of the industry?
We feel very strongly that success, if we increase demand, that will be felt throughout the industry, from the fishermen through the dealers. We, you know, see it in the winter when there's more demand than supply, the price goes up, and it goes up to the fishermen as well as the dealers.
But you're not tracking that specifically, then? You're not tracking how much better it works for the dealers versus the processors versus the fishermen versus the wholesalers, etc.?
Not on an annual basis. That, I think, will come in the four-year review that's towards the end of the program, or hopefully not the end. But
my second question is the information that you collect, is that in the public domain, or is it proprietary?
Most of our information is public domain. We want to be as transparent as possible. The only things we keep proprietary are, you know, some of the very specifics about our marketing programs, negotiated rates with some of our partners, things like that. But our research and all that type of information is public.
Good. And my last question, I'm sorry, I was a little late coming in. You might have answered it, but what is a Maine lobster? And in particular, does it have to be caught in the Maine waters and processed in Maine, sold from Maine? Is that what a Maine lobster is, or can it be caught someplace else, processed here, or can it be caught here and processed somewhere else? Could you clarify that?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and one we actually haven't handled in the board. But what we've said in the past, although it hasn't, you know, been actually written down and defined, is a lobster caught by a licensed Maine lobsterman. So it could then be processed here. It could be sent someplace else. But that is the Maine lobster. But we do get into, without having a traceability system in place, we do get into difficulty if a lobster's caught here and processed in Canada and sold back into the United States because of the country of origin labeling. So it comes back sometimes as product of Canada, sometimes as product processed in Canada, caught in Maine. It's a little bit of a confusing system, which is one of the reasons we want a more specific traceability in place. Or process them all here.
Well,
yeah,
that's easier. But yeah, and I'd add to that the following. I've had people, maybe somebody here has experienced it, when you go out into the marketplace, particularly if you're on a cruise line or, you know, a big purchaser or whatever, you know, chances are the people that are serving it don't know whether it's a Maine lobster or not. It's always going to be called a Maine lobster because when people see, you know, I just hear this over and over again, people hear the word lobster, they think Maine. It could have come from the Caribbean. It might be, you know, a lobster tail. So, you know, that's a really, what I'd say, a very, kind of a complex issue that's developed because of the nature of the name lobster and the nature of the industry, which has been fairly fragmented. And I think it's going to take some real, on our part, to try to work towards some kind of a better quality assurance, which is the brand promise, right? If we make that promise, we need to deliver on it. So it's a good question, and no easy answer there, I don't think.
I'll look forward to the answer at your next presentation.
Yeah, we'll have it nailed right down to two words, yeah. Yes.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Representative Winchibets.
I'd just like to make a comment. When you said what is a Maine lobster, I think it would be quite fascinating to ask the local people to give their individual opinion on what the Maine lobster is to them, and especially the kids. I was thinking of my school district and, like, the town of Frederick and Bremen. I'd love to hear their stories.
Yeah, it's great getting local information. I know one of our board members, when we were talking about the sweet lobsters being one of our, you know, our key points on the flavor, he said, well, I don't think that's sweet. So he went back to his business and asked the next 100 people that came through the door what they thought of the flavor of Maine lobster, and apparently most of them said sweet. So then he was on board with us for that, so...
Well, you know, this is something too that I think is a piece of this from my point of view. It's just been tradition that it's partly supply and demand, but that I think that the softshell lobster is an undervalued product, and I think the last thing we want to do is to diminish the product, you know, the value of a hardshell product. What we want to do is to boost, you know, the value of the softshell product, and I think that, you know, part of that is to make, you know, have fishermen stop referring to it as junk, or, you know, I mean, we need to change the industry conversation. I shouldn't say it. That's right. But quote, you know. So I just, you know, I think that there is some, you know, part of what we're doing is to change the conversation at all levels.
Representative Perry.
Yeah, just real quick on that point. I had a couple of my small places down by me. When we had the big glut, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, instead of doing culls or junk or whatever, it was processor grade.
Yeah.
And by doing that, there was all the talk about the processors on the news every day. Mm. They had people coming in and started to say, I want the processor grade.
Yeah.
Because then they're taking it home and processing it.
Right.
But by doing that, you kind of took away from, like you say, junk or culls or bullets
or
whatever.
Be using.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's how I had a couple of my places literally put it on their boards as processor grade. And by doing that year, one of my places never dropped below $4.99 a pound on chicks. They were able to keep up the price all the way through the fall because they were doing their processor grade at $3.99. And did chicks and two claws all $4.99 and up, which added price to the product.
Let's boost the value of everything.
Right.
Yeah. Right, especially when we're hearing from customers that they like this flavor. This is the flavor that they're seeking, and it's got the benefit of, if you're looking at a whole lobster, being easier to eat, which This is great. And even for chefs, we found that even with chefs, they were saying if they're processing themselves in the kitchen, they would much rather have soft shell even if there's slightly less percentage of meat because it's so much easier to crack them.
And you don't get a shell mixed in with the meat.
Right.
Yeah. Senator Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, yeah, I really, first of all, I want to say this has been great. Give us a picture of what you're working on. I'm impressed with where your effort is focused. I think it's all going to be positive for the industry. And I think that we need to get the whole industry thinking that we're on the same team here and stop trash-talking each other. When you get to this, just how we describe our product, it's got to, you know, all recognize the benefits of lobster in different forms. So, and the quality program and the flavor that people like and all of, the brand is important. And I particularly appreciated your comment about not driving down the value of hard shell, but driving up the value of soft shell. I think this is the sort of effort that's going to, from what I see in the discussion and the answers you provided, bring the industry together to do positive things to the value that our product has to people, as well as everyone's recognition out there of that value. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming. Frank, be careful on the way home. Watch out for the potholes.
Yeah.
I did have a conversation with DOT about Route 15 today.
Well, you know,
I didn't get any promises.
I was going to say that's perennial.
Well, I didn't get any promises, but I did have at least have a conversation. So thank you very much. And right on time, we have a work session starting at 2 o'clock.
Great. Well, thank you very much
for
having
us. Thank you all.